He's an anchor with the NFL Network, also a host on Sirius XM. Always repping the 201 on Twitter. Use the handle at Mike_Yam. Mike, it's been about 5-6 weeks since we last chatted. How's life treating you and yours here during these most unique times?
Unique is a really good word to use. I'm going to steal that from you. I like that. Happy New Year, by the way, Steve. It's great to be on with you. I always appreciate the invite. Look, I could say my family's healthy. I'm healthy. That's a win. And, you know, you can't take it for granted. Today has just been wild for a lot of reasons. And like you said in your introduction, this is sports. So happy to discuss what's happening on Sundays, what's been happening on Saturdays. I'm ready to roll with you.
Let's start with some Oregon, you know, leading up to the Fiesta Bowl. The word came down. Rob Mullins, the athletic director, announced a nice raise and extension for the head coach.
Yeah.
Mario Cristobal now in year three. You know the resume. I saw you tweeted about it. How big a deal is it that coach is going to be staying to keep building this thing?
Steve, it's huge, and it's not only huge from an Oregon perspective, I think it's massive from a conference perspective. I think it would have been a god-awful look for a league that's been struggling for positive PR to lose not only one of the better coaches in this conference, but by far, and it's not close, the best recruiter in the Pac-12 to go to the SEC. We've already seen it. Mel Tucker leave in Colorado. We saw Mike Leach leave. If he would have left to take that Auburn job, it would have been catastrophic, I think, for the conference. I talked to a former coach in this league, and this is when Tucker was still at CU, and Mario was coming off a pretty impressive first class, and he had said, man, Mario and Mel Tucker can change the landscape of recruiting in the Pac-12. Now, Cristobal has been doing that now, and I think it would have been catastrophic, I think, for the conference to lose one of its better coaches.
You know, about a month ago, you and Yogi, you talked with Stanford's coach, David Shaw, who was off his first losing season. I think most of us expected a turnaround this year. And, you know, they lost to Oregon, a tight one to Colorado, then won out. You know, this team, because of COVID, we saw them practicing in a local park. You know, I'm a huge Shaw guy. Curious is what did he have to say about how their season went and the progress they made moving forward?
Yeah, I think he was really happy with the finish, and rightfully so. You know, Steve, you've been around this conference for a long time, and look, I think the world to David Shaw. I really do think he's a top 10 football coach in the country. What he did those last few weeks of the season, it's one of the better coaching jobs I've seen in, you know, my nearly 10 years in the league. To go on the road, win three consecutive games, when you haven't been able to go home, navigate the COVID situation, it was yeoman's work. So really impressive there. I think, you know, I think a lot of us would have felt like I wanted to see more of Davis Mills out there and healthy and being able to play. But I think there were stretches there, especially late in the season, where you said, oh, now I understand why NFL personnel really think highly of David Shaw. Evan Moore, one of my colleagues at Sirius XM Radio, he thinks that Davis has got, he's the best pro prospect in the conference, and he's got the best arm talent. And I think we saw some of that. But David, I thought, did a tremendous job with Stanford, and you can't help but think maybe at the beginning of the year, if they had Mills in that week one, maybe things would have been a little bit different those first 2 weeks of the season, I should say. I didn't have him for week one, and then week two, he didn't get to be with his team until the Thursday before the game.
Talking with Mike Yam, NFL Network, Sirius XM. Jump to the NFL, and before we get to the wild card games, I want to gush a little bit over that guy who wears 10 for the Chargers. full transparency. In most cases, I look at great college quarterbacks, and I'm like, maybe. I mean, I was pretty sure Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning were going to be good. What did you make of how this guy, I mean, kind of took the league by storm?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Justin Herbert. I guess I should say his name.
It was. Yeah. I'm sure the people in Eugene need a reminder of who you're referring to. I bet there's a few of them right now listening to the show that are wearing his jersey, that Chargers jersey. You know, what's fascinating about this is, and I started thinking about the NFL draft, right? And people talking about the Jets, and you and I obviously have those East Coast ties and how they blew it, you know, with that, you know, with the win that they had late in the year, and they could have had Trevor Lawrence. I think there's one thing that's abundantly clear. There's no such thing as a sure thing. And it's no exact science. I remember even talking to Steve Lavin about this when I was at ESPN. And I said, you know, like, explain to me, like, in the recruiting process or even the evaluation process for basketball players when they go to the NBA, like, you don't know. Like, some guys just, you know, they're late bloomers. Like, and the game is just different. You know, and in Justin's case, there were a lot of people that were knocking him. And, you know, you were one of those guys, Steve. And you and I, we saw every meaningful rep that he took. In that Ducks uniform, and we knew we could play. But even, you know, I think we're both surprised about the nature in which the way the season went for him. I knew he'd be successful. I knew he'd be a really good starting quarterback. But to set rookie records the way that he did, I'd be lying if I said I saw that happening. You know, and he's a franchise quarterback after 1 year. And, you know, to me, that's tremendous. And you know him as a great person. I got to spend some time with him when he was at Oregon. I mean, just a great human being. So I couldn't be happier for his success, but it's just amazing. You know, he comes out of the gate. You watch one of those games, and my God, he's throwing haymakers. Like, your first opening drive, you're not even easing into it. It's like, yo, let's get downfield. Let's get a score. I don't mind throwing those bombs. And he threw a lot of them this season. I think that's what was so exciting about watching Herbert on the football field.
I want to get to the MVP discussion. We know voters love them some quarterback. Aaron Rodgers has a career year for a Hall of Famer. We know Patrick Mahomes works his magic. Derrick Henry over 2,000 yards in a critical final game. Those would be my top three if Mikey M was a voter. What would your ballot look like?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Rodgers is one. I think Mahomes is 1B, but I do think there's a separation. And, you know, and maybe I should even say 1B, because I actually think it's not as close as that. He really is two. I think what Rodgers has been able to accomplish this season is nothing short of phenomenal. You think about the home field advantage that they now have at Lambeau, you know, on a team where, my God, at his age, and I know we talk about Tom Brady being 43 and him hitting the 40 touchdown mark, and that's been an accomplishment in its own right. But to see some of the things that Rodgers has done on the field, it's so damn impressive. And I'll be honest with you, you know, middle of the season, I didn't think Green Bay was going to be the top seed in the NFC. I just didn't see that happening. Mahomes is electric when he's out there on that football field. And we've seen some of those magical moments, whether it was last year, and since we're talking about MVP this year, he had those moments as well on the football field. I don't know, maybe it's just because I know I'm going to be watching Mahomes for a few more years in his prime, and, you know, maybe that's why I'm leaning towards Rodgers. That's probably not a great reason, but, you know, he definitely is deserving of it based off of their season. And, you know, Kansas City is sometimes played down to their competition. Like, I give a lot of credit to the Packers this season. I would go Rodgers one for me.
Yeah, I'm in. We happen to be the voice of the Seahawks here. They play the Rams Saturday afternoon. Not that long ago, Mike, before the first L.A. game, they were, like, historically bad on defense. Then you could actually say they healed. They brought in Carlos Dunlap to rush the passer. They win the West, and they've just improved. How impressive has that turnaround been, and what level of danger do you give them in the NFC?
You know what's interesting about that, Steven? I don't know if I came on with you and we talked about this, but since we're talking about MVP, you know, there was a stretch where I was like, yo, this is Russell Wilson's year.
Right.
And to your point, it was because of how deficient they were defensively. And they were winning football games, and it was a dominant offense. And it seemed like Russell could do no wrong on the football field. You're right. They did heal up. Dunlap has obviously been key for him. I think a stretch where they played a couple teams, and granted they lost one of those games, but they played some teams from the NFC East. I think that helped when that schedule softened for them. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. They figured it out, and I think you gather some confidence when things are going well for you. They scare me, because as much as I love Aaron Rodgers, you know, Russell Wilson really is a dynamic quarterback, and I think he's shown he can win you games late in the clutch. So to me, I would be, you know, they're one of those teams that I think could really potentially make some noise. I still am concerned, you know, in those critical moments when you need to stop, like, can you come up with it? I don't know if the answer is yes for them right now, but I do know if you need a critical drive, Russell Wilson's on the short list of guys that I would trust I could execute in those critical moments.
A few final thoughts for Mike Yam, NFL Network. In the AFC, the Bills are second seeded. They host the Colts. You know, even though Buffalo's made the playoffs, this is the third time in 4 years, you know, they had the long drought. Josh Allen's been fantastic. You know, they got him an elite weapon in Stephon Diggs. And Jordan Poyer, the former Beaver, is just a fantastic safety. You know, you got the whole Bills Mafia. Just, Mike, how great of a story has Buffalo been this year?
Been awesome. It's been awesome watching them. Let's not forget about Zach Moss, another Pac-12 kid that we saw tear it up. You know, they've been great. They would scare you know what out of me. You know what's kind of crazy, because you mentioned Derrick Henry in the 2K and especially late in that game, and they obviously were fortunate to get the win in that one. Can you imagine the predicament that you're in if you're Indianapolis? Like, Indy to me is, you know, I just don't like the matchup for them to have to go to Buffalo, but they are literally inches away from being able to host a playoff game instead of having to go on the road now to Buffalo, and they would scare me. I mean, defensively they're there. Buckner's been tremendous for that football team. I just think it's a bad matchup against Buffalo. So, you know, I love the Bills in that game, but that the Colts, man, I almost just feel bad because of the draw for them.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Football team on the road. My God, they were fighting for a playoff spot. It's crazy.
Yeah, the Giants almost get in with 6 wins. These guys almost double them and got to go on the road. The first game Sunday, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens at Tennessee. We know the Titans played for the AFC title last year. They played a wild one with the Titans winning in overtime 6 weeks ago. You never know how it's going to play out. But, Mike, this to coin a phrase, this looks like it could be a dandy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just and look, two teams that don't like each other either, right? Like, that's abundantly clear. We've seen some of those moments on the field. You know, the beauty of this matchup, if you're a Ravens fan, I don't know how many there might actually be in that Oregon area where you are, but the point is, you know, this is like almost like a stress-free, pressure-free game, and there's pressure because it's the postseason, and I get that, but who's sitting here going, yeah, Baltimore can get to a Super Bowl and win it? You know, like, that's been sort of that conversation because of Lamar Jackson, how dynamic he is. I think they play loosey-goosey in this game. I actually like the Ravens against Tennessee. Derrick Henry should scare everyone, but I don't know, man. Like, there's something special, I think, about Lamar, and I think with less pressure to try to win a Super Bowl this year because they're not squarely in that conversation, I think they can get a win.
You know, I want to get to Mr. Brady, left Belichick, and did just fine, thank you. 43 years old, throws for more than 40 touchdowns. They are at the Washington football team, and everybody knows the history. 2007, 2011, in a big game, the Giants limited Brady by just getting to the passer. No blitzes with Chase Young and Montez Sweat. Washington's got that kind of a defense. I haven't made the bold call yet, and he's not playing for the Patriots, so I can't be spiteful. But what do you make of this one?
Yeah, it's actually a really good point when you talk about pressuring Tom Brady, especially in the past, and that being an issue. I'll give that offensive line for Tampa Bay, though, a lot of credit. You know, over the weekend, he throws for 399, right? He's got 4 touchdowns in that game. 41 attempts. He was only sacked 1 time. Tampa Bay's offensive line, I think they're maybe third or fourth fewest sacks allowed in the NFL. So the Chase Young's going to have his work cut out for him. They are so dynamic, though, offensively. You know, Ronald Jones has come on strong. He missed the last 2 games heading into this past one, and he still ran the ball effectively. There were some big gaping holes for him, and obviously the opponent is a part of that. But to me, you know, is Mike Evans going to be able to play? We saw that hyperextension. It was good news. He went through the walkthrough Monday, didn't practice yesterday. I don't know what his status was today. But, you know, Antonio Brown's come on strong. 3 straight games with a touchdown. Chris Godwin had his best performance of the season. He's a stud. Evans is terrific. Like, there are some big-time weapons, and I haven't even mentioned Gronk. So, you know, I think it would be tough for them to win this football game. I just think, right now, Tampa Bay is playing their best football of the season, and in Brady, I trust. It would be a bold call for you, though, if you went Washington. And if that happened, you know the street cred? Please just post that on Twitter, and I will retweet that, because you would deserve a lot of cred.
All right. I'm still in the pondering phase.
Okay. Okay.
Folks, he's a Mike Yam.
Go big or go home.
Oh, yeah. By the way, before I totally cut you loose, so where can we see you? Like, what's your schedule with the playoffs coming up?
You know, I'm kind of all over the place right now, to be honest with you. So NFL Network tells me, you know, to go. I fire up the camera on my computer. I'm still working from home. But I'm still obviously working for Pac-12 Radio on Sirius XM. And actually, I'm on the afternoon show tomorrow and then the morning show on Friday. So still, you know, Steve, you can't kick me out of this league. Pac-12 Network did, but the rest of the league, I don't. The conference, well, I guess kind of the conference did too. But I'm still around. The teams, I think, still are fun to me. So, and I love a lot of the student-athletes and the coaches that are in this league. So love following it and love discussing with you and everyone else who wants to have those conversations.
All right. Hey, always appreciate your time. On Twitter, it's at Mike_Yam. Again, fellow Jersey guy getting ready for the Pac-12 offseason and NFL postseason. Mike, always fun, my friend. Good catching up, and be well.
Anytime, man. Stay healthy, stay safe, and tell JB in an hour when he joins you that I said hello.
All right. Take it easy, Mike.